living alone in his dead uncle's cottage, and with the burden lately of wandering thoughts in the night. Seamus Ferris had fallen hard for a Polish girl who worked at a cafe down in Carrick. He had himself almost convinced that the situation had the dimensions of a love affair, though, in fact, he'd exchanged no more than a few dozen words with her. Whenever she named a price for his flat white and scone, and he shyly paid it, offering a line or two himself on the busyness of the town or the fineness of the weather. "It's like France," he said to her one sunny morning in June. And it was true that the fields of the mountain had all the week idled in what seemed a continental languor, and the lower hills east were a Provençal blue in the haze, and the lake, when he lowered himself into it, was so warm by the evening it didn't even make his midge bites sting. "The heat," he tried again, "makes the place seem like France. We wouldn't be used to it. Passing out from it. Ambulance on standby." His words blurted at the burn of her brown-eyed stare. She didn't lose the run of herself by way of a response, but she said, "Yes, it is very hot," and he believed that something at least cousinly to a smile softened her mouth and moved across her eyes. He had learned already by listening in the cafe that her name was Catherine, which was not what you'd expect for a Polish woman, but lovely. At 35 years of age, Seamus Ferris was by no means setting the night on fire at the damp old Pebbledash cottage on Dromord Hill. But he had no mortgage nor rent to pay, and there was money from when the father died, a bit more again when the mother went to join him, also the redundancy payment from Reltech and some dole. He had neither sister nor brother, and was a little stunned at this relatively young age to find himself on a solo run through life. He had pulled back from his friends too, which wasn't much of a job, for he never had close ones. He had worked for 8 years at Reltech, but more and more he had found the banter of the other men there at trial, the endless football talk, the foolishness and bragging about drink and women, and in truth, he was relieved when the chance of a redundancy came up. He had the misfortune in life to be fastidious and to own a delicacy of feeling. He drank wine rather than beer and favoured French films. Such an oddity this made him in the district that he might as well have had three heads up on Dromord Hill. He believed that Catherine, too, had sensitivity. She had a dreamy, distracted air, and there was no question but that she seemed at a remove from the other mullickers who worked in the cafe. The way she made the short walk home in the evenings to the apartments across the river in Cortober again named a sensitivity. She always slowed a little to look out and over the water, maybe to see what the weather was doing. Perhaps she even read the river light, as Seamus did, fastidiously. He could keep track of her route home if he parked down by the boathouse. See the slender woman with brown hair slow and turn to look over the water, and it was only with a weight of reluctance that she moved on again for home.